Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Samach Daled. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the Gemara Daf Samach Daled, we find ourselves in the middle of a discussion that was started toward the end of Samach Gimel Amud Beis. The title that we assigned to the sugya was Am Yisrael Nikshiru L'Avodah Zarah Mishum Ta'avosam L'Arayos, that the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, associated themselves with idolatry, not for the sake of idolatry, not because they necessarily discounted or disbelieved in the power of the Almighty, but rather because they had a desire, a lust for immorality. And they figured that if they would associate with idolatry, then they would be justified, so to speak, in practicing a lustful lifestyle. The Rashi at the bottom of Samach Gimel Bay said, "Elo lahatir lem arayas befarhesya, she yitzron tokfon al arayas." Their inclination, their evil inclination, was especially strong with regard to immorality. Amru nifruk kol ol Torah me'aleinu, let us cast off all of the yoke of Torah from upon us. V'al yochichu oisonu al ho'arayos, and then at that point, then we won't be chastised specifically over immorality. Aval al avodas kechavam lo tokfon yitzron. But it should be noted, says Rashi in explaining the Gemara, that they did not have an overly strong lust for idolatry. We introduced in our marking system several different geometric forms for this sukkah. We were using diamonds to indicate questions on this particular claim that they did not have a lust for Avodah Zarah. We will see from Psukim that it appears that they did have a lust for it. And in the course of the Gemara, we also have a double underline, which is another one of our series markings, which will be, in effect, answers, and each time it's the same answer which the Gemara offers to these questions, that being Bosser de Aviku Bey, that what we see, that which we see described in the Psukim is after they became attached. In other words, initially they were not attached to idolatry, but they started practicing it and getting into it, and once they got into it, they really got into it. And that is the point that the Psukim that the Gemara cites reflects. As we continue in this spirit of things, we are at the upper part of Samach Daled Amud Aleph, about 6 lines from the top, Toshma. We bring a proof, or in this case a question, challenging the idea that the Gemara claimed that the Jews did not have a lust for Avodah Zarah initially. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us note some of the structural points that go along with this. First of all, we have a title heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, and we call it Hemshech. It's a continuation. What we will see here is Tfilosam, a prayer that is featured in Sefer Nehemiah, Lebitul Yetzohara, for the voiding, for the canceling of the evil inclination, number one, over Avodah Zarah, the inclination, the lust for idolatry, and two, the lust for the Avera, or Arias, for immorality. As we will turn our attention to the Gemara, we notice to the left of the Gemara text a Toshma in a diamond. We've put this in to show the length marker, the length of this particular Toshma, namely the question will take you to the first wide line. However, as the Gemara unfolds, within the Toshma, the Gemara begins an incident, a Maisa. The Maisa will be, in effect, a description of the Pasuk that starts off this Toshma. The Maisa itself is very long. The Maisa takes in the Gemara's question itself. The Gemara will then answer it. But after the answer that you can see on the first wide line where we have the double underline, which we indicated before was the answer, the Maisa itself continues. And hence we have a long Maisa marking that appears, that will appear to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text as we go on. With all that having been said, we now turn to the Gemara. Toshma vayizaku b'koil godoil el Hashem Elokehem. And they cried out to Hashem, and we already mentioned this was a crying out in prayer for the canceling, for the abolishing of the evil inclination for idolatry. My Omor, what did they say? Omor Rav Yehuda, Vitemor Rav Yonasan. Rav Yehuda's, another version is Rav Yonasan. Bye, bye. This expression is an expression of screaming, of prayer, beseeching. Hainu de achrave lebeisa. It is this one, de achrave, that is responsible for the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Vekalye lehechla, and Kali is burnt the sanctuary. Vekatlinu letzadiki, and killed the pious ones. Veaglinu leYisrael me'arayu, and is responsible for the exile of the Jewish people from their land. Vadayin hu merakei beinon, and he's still dancing amongst us. He still has control over us. Klum yavsei lon, did you not give him to us? The hymn is a reference to the Yetzihara. Did you not give the Yetzihara over to us, Elalik Buli Bei Agra, in order to receive reward, heavenly reward, through him? In other words, at a point that a person is able to overcome the evil inclination, he deserves reward. Well, if that be the case, Lo Ihu Bo'inun, we do not want him. Velo Agre Bo'inun, we're willing to forfeit on the profit, on the schar, on the rewards that we could have received through him. What do we see from all of this? We see that the Yetzihara for idolatry was very strong. The Gemara answers, Boser da Aviku Bey. This is after they became entrenched in it. But initially, as we said before, they only got involved with the Yetzihara to legitimatize their practice of immorality, but not because they really believed in the idols. The story, though, continues that we started. Yasfu Tloso Yoimo Petanisa. So they sat 3 days in fasting, Bo'u Rachami, and then they prayed. Nofalu Pisco Merukia, a note descended from heaven, the Havukosiv Bey Emes. And on this note was written the word Emes. Omar Rabbi Hanina, Shmamino, Rabbi Hanina observes from this incident that we can conclude Chisomoi Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the word Emes. Emes meaning truth. The Rashi explains Choisomo Shal Kodesh Baruch Emes Shehamelech Neois Umaskim Im Avodov, that the king agrees with what you are doing, with what his servants are doing. Choisim Imohem B'Takonosom Es Choisomo, he is assigning his signature, so to speak, with what they are desiring. Well, what happened after we see this, the prayer and the fasting and this heavenly note descending signed Emes? Nofak Kegurya Denuro Mibes Kodshe Kodoshim. There appeared a lion cub, a Gurya, lion cub, Denura, a fiery one, a fiery lion cub emerged from the Holy of Holies of the Beis HaMikdash. Amarluhu Novi Yisrael. The Novi proclaimed, Hainu Yitzrod Avodah Zorah. There is the evil inclination of Avodah Zorah. Behadi de Kokatavsi lay, as they attempted to grab it, and they grab this fiery lion, Ishtamit binisa mine, a hair fell from it. The ozil kole ba'arba mea parsi, and its sound that was emitted traveled a distance of 400 parsa. Thunderous noise came forth, traveling that distance. 400 parsa. Omru, each parsa, by the way, is 4 meal. So 400 times 4 would be 1600 meal. A meal is associated with approximately 8 kilometers. So we're talking about a thunderous noise that traveled 1600 kilometers. Omru, Hechinavi, they said, what are we going to do? Dilma Mishmaya Marachamiole. Upon hearing this thunderous noise, they figured maybe from heaven they're having mercy on this entity. Omar Lehu Novi, the prophet said, Shadyu Beduda de Avra. Put him, place him, or cast him into a duda, a receptacle made of avor, of lead, the kasyuha of avra, and cover it with lead. what is the significance of this material? The shayif kolei, it absorbs, it's a noise absorbent material. Dichtiv, the pasuk that indicates this, Vayomer zos harisha, this is the yetzahara, vayashlech oisa el toicha efa, and they cast it into this receptacle, vayashlech oso even ha'oiferes el piha. And they cast this Evan Oferes, we'll say it's this Avor material, into it. Amri, the people figured, Hoyel the Ace Rotzenhu, since we see it's a moment of mercy, in other words, their prayer was answered, and they were able to gain control over this evil inclination for idolatry. Niboi Rachami Ayitzro Davero, let us pray for a similar control over the yetzer, the inclination for forbidden intimacy. Bo rachami, they prayed in sabiyadayo, and they were given control of the yetzer for avera as well. Chavshu tloso yoimi, they had incarcerated and locked it up for 3 days. In the course of those 3 days, ibo biaso basyuma, they sought a freshly laid egg lechoyla for a sick person. In other words, there were certain types of ailments that a fresh egg would be beneficial for. V'lo ashku, and they could not find any freshly laid eggs. Let us bear in mind, they prayed and got control over that inclination that is responsible for procreation. The Omru Hechinavid, they said, what are we going to do now? In other words, by having subdued the inclination for procreation, we see that even the laying of eggs came to a halt. Niboi Palga, should we pray, or can we pray for half? In other words, for that which is necessary for our maintenance, for our existence, that should continue. But, and only that which is forbidden should cease. Well, Palga Merikia Lo Yahavi, from Shamayim, they don't give you half things. So what did they do? Chachlinu Le'enei, they blinded this entity, the Avodah Zorah of intimacy. They blinded it with kachol, with a substance that is used for the eyes, but it can also serve, blind eyesight. Ahani Bey, that was effective, Delo Igri Inish Bekrovse. As a result of their act of blinding the eyes of this Yetzer, the Avera, mankind doesn't have a lustful tendency toward his closest of relatives. For example, it is uncommon for a son to want to conduct intimacy with one's mother. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. We see here a new topic heading. Maisim im avoido lipor ulamarkalis. We'll see some incidents involving the service of these two idols, the Baal Peor and the Markalis. We noted in our previous shiur the marking around Rav Yehuda Marav, the house form, because we had noticed already a couple, we saw already before on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amav a statement of his as well. So the Gemara tells us a story. Maisa ben Ochris Achas Shoisa Chodav Yoser. There was a heathen woman that was very ill. Omra, and she said, Im ta'amod hahi isha mecholyo, if she gets better. She said it on herself. Often in the Gemara you find people speaking about themselves in a third person. So she said about herself, if she gets better, Telech v'tavo d'chol avodazor shabo'olam, she will go and worship every idol in the world. Omda, she got better. V'holcha l'chol avodazor shabo'olam, and she went to every idol in the world. Kevon, she gia l'por, when she finally got to this particular idol, the por, Sha'al koimrim bameh oivdin lizu, she asked the priests, how is this to be served? Omrula, they told her, oichlin traden v'shoysin shechar, a person consumes these substances, he eats the traden vegetable, and drinks shechar, beer, and this loosens the bowels, umachrizin befana, and after that, one releases his waste in this loose fashion in front of the Baal Peor idol. Omra, upon hearing this, she said, well, this is the way this thing is served. Mutav shetachzor ahi isha l'cholya. It would be better for her, on herself, she says, to become sick again. V'lo ta'avod avodah zorah b'kach. And just anything, not to serve an avodah zarah, to serve an idol in that reprehensible, disparaging fashion. Atem beis Yisrael ein okein. However, unfortunately, the Jewish people are not like that. When it comes to the Baal Peor, according to this first approach we will see in the Gemara, it seems that the Jewish people had a great affinity for the Baal Peor, a great connection to it. The Pasuk in describing the Jewish people's connection to the idol of Baal Peor, it says, "Hanitzmodim leBaal Peor." The word nitzmodim is interpreted kitzomid posil. This is an earthenware seal that's placed on a barrel. It seals the barrel. So it's pasted on the barrel in a very tight fashion and sticking very closely to it. However, with regard to the Jewish people's relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk says, "V'atem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokechem." The word "devekim" means sticking together. In what form? "Keshtei tmoros hadvukois zu bezu," like two dates, which are often a sticky substance, they stick to one another. However, their cleaving to one another is not the same with the same intensity as that which is described previously, hanitzmodim lebal paor. So the first version of this particular analysis laments the close connection that the Jewish people have with the Baal Peor and the rather loose connection that they have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. However, we now see another approach, actually an opposite approach, b'masnisatana. That's why we've noted in the Gemara Aleph and Beis, indicating two different approaches to this topic. B'masnisatana, in a Tanaic source, we find an alternative approach which actually praises the Jewish people while looking at these two psukim. On the one hand, it says, "Hanitzmodim lebal peor, kitzomid al yedei isha," like a bracelet on a woman's arm. The bracelet is loose-fitting. However, v'atem hadvekim b'Hashem Elokechem, but you who are cleaving unto the Kodesh Baruch Hu, devukim mamish, it's solid, a very close sticking together. Tana Rabbanan, we feature another Tanaic source. As you're familiar with the marking system, those lines of Gemara that appear as that are quotes from Tanaic sources are put in frames. And here we have another one. Maisa, an incident, b'savta. The gentleman's name in this story is Savta, Ben Alice. Rashi in this particular Gemara says this is a reference to the fact that he comes from a place, Ben Alice, from a place known as Alice. There are other Girsos that say Min Alice. He comes from that place. Shehiskir Chamoru Lenochris Achas. He rented his Chamor, his donkey, to a heathen woman. And as the owner of the animal, Savta accompanied the animal, we could say, as an ancient taxi driver, so to speak. he drives the animal or leads the animal, and she is renting it for transportation. Kevon shigia lepaor, when they arrived at the Peor idol, omro lo, she said to the Savto, hamtein ad shekones veitze, wait for me outside until I go in and exit. Lachar shiyotza, when she exited the Baal Peor, Omar Law, so he, the Savta, said to her, we have to note, of course, that Savta was a Jewish person. He said to the heathen woman, Af at hamtini ad she'ekones veitzei, you two wait until I go in and exit. Omrlo, so the woman asked, "Velo Yehudiyata, are you not Jewish?" And Jewish people do not engage in idol worship. Omrlo, "Umay ich pasloch, what difference does it make to you?" Nichnas, po'ar befonov, he went in and revealed himself and did what we described above, defecated, v'kineach bechotmo, and he cleansed himself, so to speak, on the nose of this idol. V'hoyu mishorsei avodazor makalsin lo, and the priests of this particular idol praised him, v'omrim, and they said, me'olam lohoya odom she'ovdo lozeh bekach, there was never someone who worshipped the Peor idol in such an effective fashion. Ha'por atzmo lebal Peor hareze avodaso. The halacha, though, notes that one who defecates to the Baal Peor, this is its form of service. Afagav de michvin lebizui, even if there is an intention to denigrate it, Nevertheless, this is the way it is served, and hence it is forbidden. Hazorek Evan Lamarkalis, one who casts a stone at the Markalis idol, Zuhi Avodah, so that is its form of worship. Afogav de Michvin Lamirgame, even though his intention is to stone it, that is being that that is its form of worship, it is forbidden. Rashi points out over here, V'yafagav de michvin levizuye, even though his intention is to disparage it, chayav korban al shigigoso, he is, if he does so unknowing, in other words, a person is not aware that this is its service, and his intention is to disparage it, so Rashi explains that he is chayav a korban, he's obligated to bring an atonement sacrifice because he erred. V'im hisrubo, and if a witness has warned a person, do not do this disparaging act because this is its form of worship, and one it would be chayav, one is guilty of a capital offense. So if he does it anyway, chayav misa, he is bound to the death penalty. The Gemara continues. Rav Menashe havika ozil lebei torta. Rav Menashe was on his way to this location, bei torta. Amru lo avodazar hi dekoy hacha. They told him there is an idol here. Shokal pisa shodabe, he took a clod of earth and cast it at this idol. Amrulo, they told him, Markalis he, the idol that's here is the Markalis. Omar lahu, he told them, Hazorik evan lamarkalis tanan. The Rashi says, lamarkalis tanan, lefonov lechabdo. The prohibition is, in his opinion, was one who casts a stone at the Markalis to honor it. Vani zarakti lahakis bagufo, and my casting of the clod of earth, the pisa before, was in order to disparage it. The issue came up, and also Shal Bei Midrasha, they inquired of this in the study hall. Omar lay, and they told him, Hazorik evan b'markalis tnan af al gav de michvin lemirgame, that the one who casts a stone at the Markalis is violating the law, even though his intention is to disparage it. Omar lahu. So Rav Menashe said, if that be the case, then Ezel Ishkala, then I will remove that which I cast at it. Rashi points out, Ishkale afogav shekvar ovad, even though he already served it or did what he did, v'ein hishovon ladavar, and there is no turning back, so to speak, from that particular act. It's something that cannot be undone. Kaboy le mishkale kadei shelo tisnoe ba'avoido shelo. His intention, though, was that at least he'll remove that which added to its glamour. The people with Rav Menashe told him, though, don't go and remove it. Omrule, they told him, echad hanotlo ve'echad hanoisno chayov. Whether one puts something there or whether one takes notlo, removes from it, or one puts something there as the stone, chayov, kol chayov. That's considered a violation. So you'll ask, well, what's the violation about removing a stone from the Markalis? The answer is kol chada v'chada revocha lechavirto shavik. Each one that you remove simply creates more place for the next one. The Mishnah, hanose mizaro lamolech, one who gives his children to the molech. Eino chayov ad, number one, shimsor lamolech. Violation is not achieved until one gives to the servants, the priests of the molech, v'yavir bo'esh, and passes between the fires. Mosar lamolech v'lohevir bo'esh. If, however, one gave his child to the molech, to the priests in charge of the molech, but there was no casting through or between the fires. Hevir bo'esh v'lo mosar lamolech. If one took his own child through the fire and did not give it prior to the priests, eino chayav ad sheyimsor lamolech v'yavir bo'esh. There is no violation until both stages are accomplished. The topic heading we've assigned to this Gemara on the side, the nosei mivneh. The Gemara will discuss the molech. Ha'im hu avodah zarah o isur nifrat. Is it a subcategory of idol worship, or is it a separate Torah prohibition? We will see triangles around the names Abaye and Rava. This is to accentuate a machlokis between Abaye and Rava. And their machlokes concerns im Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon v'Rabbi Chanina ben Antipas l'omru dover echad. If these two tanoim that we will see in the Gemara, are they saying similar things, or are they not saying similar things? In other words, or is there a clear point of difference between them? The Gemara begins. Kratani avodah zarah, in the Mishnah on daf nun gimel amud aleph, where the Mishnah lists those practices that are guilty of stoning, it mentions idol worship, the kotani molech, and it mentions molech as a separate example. Omar Rabbi Ovin, upon noticing this, mentions tnan kiman to Omar molech lav avodah zarahi. Our Mishnah on Nun Gimel reflects the opinion that the molech is not idolatry, because if it was, there would be no need to list it separately. Desanya, we have the following source in which we will see opinions on this topic. The source says, Echod lamolech ve'echod l'sha'ar avodah zarah chayav. If one is ma'avir zara, one passes his children to these things, the molech and other avodah zarah, one is considered in violation. And it's pointed out, even if it's not the normal way of serving these other idols, nevertheless, the Mavir Zaro is going to be Chayav. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Omer, Lamolech Chayav, Shelo Lamolech Potter. When done with the Molech, this passing of children to it, if it's done with the Molech, then there is guilt. If it's done Shelo Lamolech, to other idols, then there is no guilt. Rashi points out, Shelo lamolech poter, four lines from the bottom, the molech davko ksivi. The Torah has intention of forbidding only molech, shedarka bekach. That's its way of service. Velo mishum avodah zarah azir olov. The Torah is not forbidding this because of it being a form of idolatry. Deho me'echo yavdu nafka. Other forms of idolatry are learned from that particular pasuk. Ela choikhu lohem, rather it is some type of heathen practice. V'Torah hikpid al chok ze beskila, and the Torah is opposed to this particular heathen practice and punishes it through stoning. V'fiko chutzruch lichtov, and that's why the Torah had to write a separate section concerning the molech. So we see from Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon that the molech is a separate entity and not another form of idolatry. Omar Abaye, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, Omru Dover Echad. These two Tanoim, according to Abaye, say the same thing. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon Hodamoran. We already saw him in the Tanaic source we just quoted, and we actually underlined his name as well for emphasis. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos de Tanya, we see Rabbi Chanina in the following source. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos Omer, Mipnei ma tofso Torah loshon molech. Why does the Torah refer to this particular practice using the expression molech? Molech sounding like the word melech, kingship, monarchy. The explanation is, kol shehim lichuhu alehim. Anything that they proclaim to be in control of their destiny, afilu tzor v'afilu kesam, even a stone or a pebble, and even a splinter. The Rashi points out, kol shehim lichu aleihem shekora shmo molech. Anything that they declare to be molech is that which the Torah forbids in the context of giving over one's children. According to Abaye, as we mentioned just before, this opinion of Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos parallels that of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, and is essentially saying that only that which is declared molech is going to be punishable if the practice of giving over one's children and doing this fire passage will be incurred, as opposed to other forms of idolatry. Rava Omar, Molech Aroi Iko Binayu. Rava points out that there is a slight difference between these two opinions. The point of difference being the temporary type of molech. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, the violation is only when practiced with an established molech, something that's concrete and firm, so to speak, as opposed to Rabbi Chanina ben Antipas, who's willing to include even a temporary form of molech, something that's transient in nature, like a pebble or a splinter. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Eino Chayov. Rabbi Yanai is coming to explain what the Mishnah said, Ad Shiyimsar. We already explained it in our presentation. Here the Gemara shows Rabbi Yanai offering that explanation. So he says that there is no guilt, Ad Shiyimsarenu, the Mishorse Avodah Zarah, until one gives his child over to the servants of this idol. Shinemar Umizaracha Lo Titein Lahavir Lamolech. The Pasuk says that one shall not give his offspring to the Molech. So we see that there's a Masira that's necessary, namely the giving over of the child to the priests that serve it. And they are the ones that will pass it between the fire. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Tanaic source that backs this up. Yochol Hevir Velo Mosar Yehe Chayav. Can it be suggested that if one passes his own child between the fires and without having given it over to the priests, there would be guilt? Talmud Lomar Lo Yisitein. The Torah says, do not give him over to. So therefore, if one doesn't give the child over to the priest, so there's no violation. Mosar Lamolech Velo Hevir Yochol Yehe Chayav. If one passes his child, gives his child over to the priests, but there's no passage between the fires, would there be guilt? Talmud Lomar, Leha Avir, to be passed between the fires. Mosar Vehevir Shelo Lamolech, Yochol Yehe Chayev. Let us say one gave his child over to priests, and they passed it through fire, but in the context of another idol, in other words, to something other than the Molech, we might be able to explain, based on the previous Gemara, something that had not been declared to be the Melech. Talmud Lomar, La Molech. And the Torah adds that this violation is only when encountering the Molech. Mosar Vehevir La Molech. Let us say a person gave his child over to the priests, and they passed it in front of a Molech, something declared to be Molech, but there was no fire present in this passage. Yochel Yechayev, is there guilt? The Brisa says no. Ne'emar kan lahavir. The pasuk that we are referencing over here says umizaracha lo sitein lahavir lamolech. So we see the word lahavir here. The ne'emar lahalon, and in the Devarim Perek Yudzayin pasuk Yud, the pasuk says lo yimotse b'cho ma'avir b'no uvito ba'esh. So we see a similar verb form in another section. Ma lahalon ba'esh, just like over there, the pasuk is referencing a passage between fires. Afkan ba'esh, so too, when dealing with the molech pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Yudches, it's a reference to fire as well, even though it doesn't say so specifically. Uma kan molech, and just like in Vayikra Yudches, there is a reference to it is a reference to Molech. Af lahalon, so too, the pasuk in Dvarim Yudches is talking about Molech, even though it doesn't say so explicitly. Omar Vacho Brei de Rava, Hevir Kol Zaro Poter. If a father passed all of his children to the Molech, the emphasis here on all of his children, he would not be in violation of what the Torah says. Why is that? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Mi Zaracha, the Mem being a limitation letter, from your children, from amongst your children, Velo Kol Zaracha, but not all of your children. Therefore, in this Pasuk, of course, you can see, using the arrows that you find on to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, is a reference to the Pasuk we saw above, U Mi Zaracha, from amongst your children, but not all of your children. Boi Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asks, Heviro sumo mahu, yoshe mahu, ben beno, uven bito mahu. A series of questions that we see here. He says, let us say that a person took his child, but his child was lacking sight. He was sumo. He was a blind child. or he was sleeping when he was given over. And it's explained that these are people that cannot go by themselves. Even if they wanted to, they're incapable, as they are right now, of going by themselves. Ben Bino, a grandson, son of son, or Ben Bito, son of daughter. What is the din then? Because the psukim that we saw above spoke about Bino Ubito. What about grandchildren? Four questions, in effect, we see here. The Gemara proceeds and says, Tifshot miho chano. Let us conclude one of these questions. Desanya. The Pasuk says, Ki mizar oi nosan lamoylech. Ma Talmud Lomar. What is this Pasuk revealing? The Rashi says, Ki mizar oi nosan lamoylech. Ma Talmud Lomar. Pshita. The high kores al kain nichtav. The pasuk seems to be obvious because it is written about that which was mentioned before. The hal b'mavi l'molech siv. The pasuk was already talking about this topic. Vani atein es ponai ifechule le'el minei siv. Vashir yitein mizaro l'molech mos yubos. So when one looks in the section vayikra perik chof and looks at several psukim from psukim. Bays through hay, one will see that this pasuk seems to be superfluous. So the Gemara answers: Lefi shenemar lo yimotse b'cho ma'avir benoi uvito bo'ish. Since the pasuk said that one shall not be found passing his son or daughter between the fires, this pasuk we saw quoted above in Dvorim Perik Yudches, ein li elo. Bino uvito. From the pasuk there, we see son and daughter. Ben bino uven bito minayin. How about grandchildren? Talmud lomar. The pasuk in our context says in Vayikra Perik Chof says besito mizaro. Not limiting. Zaro means offspring, seed, as opposed to specifically son or daughter. The Gemara has a technical question over here. This structure of this source is a little bit curious. It opens up seeking the meaning of one pasuk, namely pasuk gimel in Perek Chof, and then it concludes by citing a different pasuk, which is not the normal structure of a Tanakh source. The normal structure would be it opens with a particular pasuk and wants to know what is the meaning of it, then seeks out clarification from another source. Could it mean something else? And then it comes and cites the original pasuk as being a clarification of what the original question was. But here they're not citing the original pasuk. And hence the Gemara asks, Tana posach baki mizaro. The Tana opens up seeking the meaning, the significance of pasuk gimel, v'solik besito mizaro, and then closes its discussion citing a different pasuk. The Gemara answers, the truth is that this source is a little bit abbreviated, and drosha achrina hu. There is a separate expansion or exposition of verse meaning that is contained in this source. In other words, the pasuk of besito mizaro, pasuk dalid, is here for another purpose, as follows: zaro ein li elo zera kosher. I would only know from the pasuk of zaro itself, if I had the word zaroi, I would think it's covering or it's forbidding only legitimate type children that are kosher. Zera posel minayin. What about offspring that are illegitimate? Let us say that a person had forbidden relations and produced a child that's we refer to as a mamzer. What is the din then? Talmud lomar besito mizaro. The pasuk is including even one who passes zera posel to the molech will be considered in violation. So from the last few lines, we discovered a couple of halachas. We see that there's a prohibition of passing not only children, but grandchildren as well. And we see even if the offspring are not legitimate, there still is a prohibition. Amar Yehuda, Eino Chayav Ad Shi'avirenu Derech Ha'avora. There is no violation until the passage is done in the customary way. Hechidami, what is meant by this customary way of passage when dealing with the fire? Amar Abaye. Two opinions are featured in the Gemara, the first being that of Abaye, and the skipping a line, you see the beginning of the line, Rava number with a number two, another opinion. So Abaye says, Shroga de Livni, there is a row of bricks, Bemitzi, that is placed in the middle, Nura Mehai Gisa, Venura Mehai Gisa, and a flame on either side, on both sides of this row of bricks. And after the father gives the child over to the priest carries the child on this row of bricks between two fires. Rava has a different approach to the presence of the fire. Kimashvarta de Puraya, like the jumping game that was practiced on Purim. The Gemara understood what that was, and by our looking at the Gemara, we can't know what that means. Rashi, however, reveals that what they used to do was they would dig a pit and place a fire in the pit, and then jump over the pit. Rather dangerous-sounding game, if you ask me, but that was the way Molech was served. This one can see in the Rashi. Toward the lower part of the narrow lines, Rav Amar Kemashvartet Buraya, Eino Mavir Baraglov, it's not a walking like we saw before in Abaye's explanation, walking on a brick path. Ela koifetz beraglov, rather it's a jumping action. Kederach shatinokus koifsin bimei ha-purim, just like the children jumped on Purim. Shehoiso chafir boretz, there was a pit dug in the ground. Vo'esh bo'er bo, and a fire was burning in the pit. Vuhu koifetz misafa l'safa, and he would jump from one edge to the other. From this Rashi, it's not clear that in the jumping game of Purim that there was also a fire, but it's certainly the way the Molech was served was in this fashion. Pit, fire in the pit, and jumping over it. Tanyo Kavosei de Rava, we have a Tanaic source that will support Rava in the sense that the practice was not by normal walking, but rather by jumping. The source says, Einu chayav ad shia virenu derech ha'avoroso. There is no violation unless it is done in its customary fashion. Heviro beregel poter. Passing through by foot is exempt. So we see that the walking type of passage is not guilt-worthy. The Einu chayav elo al yotze yirecho. The guilt is incurred only when using one's offspring. Ha ketzad, how is this to be understood? Beno ubito chayav, if one passes his children, son or daughter, that is guilty. Oviv imo, ochi vivachosa, one's father, mother, brother or sister, potter, there is exemption. Hevir atzmo, potter, if one passes himself, he is exempt. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, mechayev. On this point, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says there is guilt if one is ma'avir atzmoi. Echod la'molech ve'echod l'shar avodah zarah, chayev. Whether it be the molech or any other avodah zarah, any other idol, it's the same guilt. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, and this we've seen before, he said la'molech chayev, shelo la'molech poter. This whole ritual is guilt-worthy only in the context of Molech, not with regard to other idols. Amar Ula, my time of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. What's the basis for his claim that there is guilt on Mavir Atzmoi, when one passes himself? Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, Lo Yimotzei Becho. And Becho equals Be'atzmecho, yourself. The Gemara asks a question. It's a long question, as you can see by the kuf that's encircled with a dashed vertical line to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. The Gemara asks, "V'rabbanan lo darshi b'chor?" Do they not learn the word b'chor as being a warning against or concerning one's own self? V'hatanai, we see in another context that they do focus on the word b'chor, indicating to concern oneself with oneself.
in the following context. V'hotnan, we have a Tanaic source that deals with lost articles. Avedaso v'avedas oviv. If one has an opportunity to find or to restore one's own lost article or one's father's lost article, and he can do only one of them, or he has a choice of which one should come first, so the halacha says, Shaloi koidemes, his own has precedence, so that if he has a chance to save only one of two articles, his own has precedence. V'amrinon, and we ask, my time, well, what is the basis of preferring one's own lost article over one's father's? The Omar of Yehuda Makro, the pasuk says, Efes ki lo ye b'cho evyon. And we take this to mean, equals Shaloi Kodemes L'shel Kol Adam. And the thought here, in asking and raising this question, is because that in this pasuk you see the word B'cha, which would mean that one should concern himself with one's own article first. The Gemara answers no. Hasam, in that particular pasuk, which is mentioning that one should avoid poverty, the avoidance and emphasis on one's own self is learned from the presence of the word Efes that's in that pasuk, not from the fact that the word that the pasuk says b'cha. Amar Yosi bar Chanina, shalosh krisos b'avodah zarah lama. Why does the Torah feature three times the punishment of krisos when presenting the prohibition of idolatry? Achas likadarka. One is saying that there is guilt. There's guilt of kores in the practice of avodah zarah when one does it in its normal fashion. V'achas l'shelo kedarko, one is telling me that there will be kores for one who, let us say, practices the Beis HaMikdash type services, the slaughtering, offering up on fire to idols, even if it's that particular idol, if it's unusual for that particular idol to be served in that fashion. V'achas l'moylech, and one kores is mentioned telling us that one who practices molech will be chayav. From this, one sees that molech is a separate entity. It doesn't come under the heading of avodah zarah. Hence, there had to be taught kores in a separate fashion. And the Torah is revealing that even though it's not an avodah zarah, nevertheless, the Torah is makbid, is prohibits this kind of service, even though, as we said, it's not idolatry. Ulaman di Omar molech avodah zarah, and according to the opinion that says that the molech is avodah zarah, and we saw this before, in other words, the Tanakama of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who said echad lemolech ve'echad l'shar avodah zarah, that seems to lump them together, then the question comes up, kores b'molech lamali, why is it necessary for the Torah to feature kores in the case of molech when molech is simply another form of idolatry? The Gemara answers, the significance of this kores pasuk is telling me lamavir benoi shaloi kedarka, where one passes his child to other idols who are not normally served through this passage ritual, but if one does this passage ritual to other idols, there will be guilt. According to those opinions that say when the Torah prohibits this action called megadef, or this behavior that we call megadef, and says that this is really avodah, this is idolatry, and we find in the context of megadef, we find psukim that say that there's a punishment of kores for one who is megadef, but megadef being an avodah zarah, we would know that already. Kores b'megadef lomali, why is there significance in saying kores by megadef when it falls under the heading of avodah zarah? So the Gemara answers, there is significance in the kores written by megadef, l'chidisanya, as will be revealed in the following Tanaic source, noting that these psukim are the psukim, namely Bamidbar Tesvav. We see the Gemara will be quoting pasuk lamed aleph, but we will take note of the fact that there's a pasuk lamed also that's worth reading before we go into the source itself. We've provided this on the side of the Gemara. The pasuk says, "V'hanefesh asher ta'aseh b'yad ramah min ha'ezroch u'min ager asher Hashem u'min ager es Hashem hu megadef v'nichrus so hanefesh ahi mikerev amah." So we see in this pasuk, which features Megadef, it says, and the soul will be cut away, v'nichrus ha'nefesh. Then we see in pasuk Lamed Aleph, ki devar Hashem bozo ves mitzvosoi hefar, he kores ha'nefesh ahi avona bo. This pasuk Lamed Aleph, as a continuation of pasuk Lamed, is also talking about Megadef, and it mentions he kores as well. Turning to the Braisa now, he kores. The double expression, hikores equals bolam hazeh, means one will be cut off in this world, tikores olam habo, and will be cut off from the next world as well. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Amalo Rabbi Shmuel. Rashi points out that Rabbi Shmuel is not arguing directly with Rabbi Akiva, but he's rather issuing his own exclamation and says, Valokvar Neamar Vinichrusa. In Pasuk Lamed, there was another Kores word. Vichi Shloisha Olomim Yesh. Are there three worlds? In other words, Rabbi Akiva accounted for two, but how are you going to account for the third Kores word? Elo Vinichrusa equals Va'olam Hazeh. He Kores equals Lolam Avo. And Tikores, the double expression of Hikores, Tikores, that double expression is not a reference to an additional world, but rather Dibro Torah Kaloshon B'nei Odom. The Torah speaks sometimes with emphasis as people normally speak. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.